Ai, mă, nu știu.
Ioi.
Shalom, Ioi.
Shalom.
Well, I will not introduce myself anymore. It's enough what was said. And some of what was said was incorrect, so let me just correct this. I'm not a pastor. I was never a pastor. You know what? I don't want to say I was never a pastor. Maybe I function as a pastor, but I'm not officially appointed as pastor, nor a rabbi. I know only one rabbi which was officially, you know, officiated as a rabbi. His name is Yeshua. And he told me at least not to call any other rabbis, so I don't. So there is only one rabbi, and I'm trying to follow him. Amen? When I was praying about what should we all hear from the Lord today, this Shabbat, what a coincidence, it's a Sabbath, and we are going to speak about the Sabbath Sunday. You know, what is the real meaning of the Sabbath? The word that I heard again and again was freedom. Now, this word can really be a threatening word to some messianics, because they immediately think,
comes to speak against the Torah. We are free from the Torah. We are free from this, we are free from that. Relax.
Because God is calling us to freedom according to His definition of freedom. For sure, not the definition that the Western world gave to the word freedom. Okay? So today I want to speak with you about real biblical freedom. And for this, I want to start, I believe that the Lord wants me to start, the Ruach wants to start in Romans 8, 18. True freedom in Messiah. Romans 8, 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Did you notice? In us. Not revealed around us from another source, but in us. Keep it in mind, please. Somebody, Gabby, do you have your glasses here?
You need some, I've got some right here.
Oh, no, there is a plastic on it. Sorry. Told you I'm not an official pastor, right? Can you help me with this? There is some. I will read without it.
I don't see anything without glasses.
You see, there is a plastic? It's just that the new plastic, you know, the new glasses I bought from Walmart, you know. So.
I wear them.
I'm getting old, you know. I need glasses.
I wear them with a plastic. It didn't bother me.
Oh, it bothers me.
Please.
Thank you, sweetie. Okay, back to track. Hallelujah. Wow, what a difference. But now I cannot see you. Never mind. Okay, hallelujah. Let's get back to the spirit. Abba, thank you for opening our hearts. B'shem Yeshua. I pray that whatever I say here will be pleasing to your ears, Abba. And that's why I need the Holy Spirit so much, the Ruach HaKodesh, because only what He says is pleasing to your ears. Thank you, Abba, B'Shem Yeshua. In the name of Yeshua. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Again, we all think, oh, may your glory come. May your glory come. While he sits there and he wants to shake us and say, excuse me, my glory should be expressed through you. It's not an abracadabra kind of magicianary, oh, glory, and glory comes. We actually should be so dead to self that His glory shines through us, that everybody will prostrate when we pass. And if you think I'm teaching heresy, look at the priests in the temple. They posted, you know, before his glory, and look at Paul's garments, his coat, or Peter. They just touched them or just put them. Their shade healed people. They were so filled with his glory. And the time is coming where it will be the same, because the beginning and the end are the same. It's cyclical, not linear. Yeah? So, let's continue. So the creation eagerly awaits for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creation was subject. Notice the creation. It means the cats, your pets, yeah? The dogs, the snakes, whoever. If you read in Isaiah, prophecies which speaks, in my humble opinion, about the millennial kingdom, what do you see there? Babies play with, what translated to your English, cobra. It's vipers, it's snakes. Would I allow my grandson to play with a viper now? No! God forbid. But this will be the situation. Why? Because the beginning and the end are the same. Nothing is new under the sun. When Isaiah spoke about the lamb with the wolf, yeah? And the lion with the cattle, you know, with the cows eating grass together, he did not speak about something new. That was the situation of the creation before the sin. Okay? So it comes. It comes very soon. We will experience those very things. Aren't you excited? But it needs to be preceded by birth pangs. So let's continue. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Not liberty of Messiah. Liberty of us, if we are the children of God. Not only we need to show the glory of God shines through us, but we need to show his liberty. We are free people. Free, free, free. And if you don't believe it, it has nothing to do with keeping or not keeping the Torah, by the way. I will show you what is freedom, biblical freedom, from the portion of the week, which is read in every synagogue around the world. It speaks about freedom. Without further ado, let's go to the portion of the week. Mishpatim, judgment, or sentences in Hebrew, okay? Go with me, please, to Exodus. Exodus 20-something. I will do. 21. I say 20-something because I want to combine, like every teacher needs to combine between this portion of the week, and we need to combine it with the last week portion, Jethro, Yitro, the Mount Sinai, you know, event, the greatest event ever in the Jewish history, yeah? Mount Sinai event. Actually, I was mistaken, because the greatest event was the birth and later on the life and the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Jewish Messiah. But unfortunately, like on Mount Sinai, where everybody idolized Moses and waited for him and started to hoopla hula around the golden calf, also in Mount Golgotha, most of the Jewish people missed it. Surprised? No! Nothing is new under the sun. It was always minority. Do you want to belong to the true minority of God? Yes or no?
Yes.
So be open with your spiritual ears to this message, okay? And don't get offended. And when you are, take your offense to Yeshua.
Amen, brother.
I am just a man, flesh and blood. And as such, I am completely dependent on the work of God, on the Holy Spirit. But even, but it's not enough, blah, blah, blah. I am depending on your Holy Spirit. Many of us, you know, show me one preacher which always speaks only Arabic and only speaks. Now we insert our rubbish as well. So, chew it and then... Okay, whatever. But don't get offended by the word of God. When John the Baptist, just before he was beheaded, he was, rotting in jail. It was an American jail. Or Israeli, where you study to be to achieve your master's degree. No. Jail was jail. Prison was prison. And John, who ushered the way for Christ to come, to say, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes, yeah? He saw him, he saw the Holy Spirit in an image of a dove coming upon him. How do you think he felt when he was already for I don't know how many years in jail? And he sends messengers to Yeshua, probably to the Galilee. Are you the one, or shall we wait? You know, in other words, did I make a mistake? How many of you thought that you are walking with the Lord, that you heard him? And when trials started, when he got you into his theological seminary, which means life or desert, you started to doubt him. You say, oh, was it really him? Did he really tell us to move to Wichita Falls? No, are you with me? I mean, I wish this would be the only trial. When we moved back to Israel after 4.5 years living in Irving, Texas, I, for many years, grieved, asked my wife. I told her we made a mistake. We lost everything, literally. John the Baptist lost everything, more literally. And he asked Yeshua, are you the one? Or shall we wait for another one? You remember what Yeshua told him? Look at the facts. You know, type, you know, ask Mrs. Google, you know, what's happening in America, what in Rwanda, you know, the broken hearted are healed, you know, the cripples are rising up from the church, you know, miracles are happening, of course, I am. And blessed is the one who is not offended by you. Because Yeshua never came to tickle our ears. Not even our messianic ones. The church did so much harm to the gospel that we messianics tend to throw the bath with the baby. The baby with the bath water. I did it. I smelled the pork in the Gentile's mouth. Who take her? Who sleeps Gentile? I came from it. Till the Lord entered me to his theological seminar. That's where I was already. When you get born again, you're born again into God's theological seminar. And you graduate with your PhD or with your bachelor, depends how well you did when you move from this life to the next one. Or when he comes and changes you. That's the only time you graduate from God's theological seminar. The other theological cemeteries in the world will not make you a better believer. Because God wants to liberate you in the heart. It's from inside out, not from outside inside. It never worked like this with God. So let's continue. We love it. I want to join the last week's portion with today's portion. Shall I? Will you bear with me? What is the main message of the last Torah portion? The Torah portion which was read in each synagogue last week, of course, Mount Sinai event. When the mountain shook, when the glory of God came on it, and then, like it's not enough, they hear God himself speaking with a loud voice, the 10 words. You call it 10 commandments. It's Aseret Adibrot. Diber word. Diber logos. The world was with God, and the world was God, yeah. In Hebrew, it's the same one. the 10 words are uttered out of the mouth of the root, the one who created everything. Are you ready for the surprise? The very first commandment speaks about freedom! Chapter 20, Exodus 20, verse 2. Verse 1, so you will see it in context. And God spoke all those words saying, I am Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the private name of God. Your God, are you ready? Who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. If this verse does not speak about the freedom that God wants us to have, then I'm an idiot. I have no common sense whatever to read God's word. Because if he took me from the house of bondage to put me under bondage, then there is no logic in it. Leave me alone, I will stay in Egypt. I got used to this life. By the way, they did get used to this life of bondage. How many of us, like they in the desert, complain to God and say, oh, we miss the watermelons, we miss the onions, we miss the barbecue sauce, we miss the baked egg and bacon that we had back in the world, we miss the bars, we miss the adultery, thievery, whatever. We missed Egypt, the world. If you did not experience what I'm talking about, Abba help them. He will help you experience it. Because it's part of the growth. It's part of the spiritual awakening. Because a real Israelite, Israel, struggles and quarrels with God. God never intended to sit in pews, sorry. Whether it's mega church or small church of 20 people. Never we were called to sit in pews and say, meh, while the pastor gives you food. Excuse me? How many of you saw a Bedouin shepherd or any shepherd go with a spoon and feed his flock? Come. Excuse me? A shepherd's job is to bring you to the world and you eat. You drink. Men in the desert were fed up and said, it's much easier to stay religious. It's very easy, Tommy, to go every Sunday or Shabbat to the synagogue church, name it. Do the same things every Shabbat and go to Wednesday, Monday, Bible, whatever Bible study. Do the same routine. Hallelujah. Anybody a Christian? Or a Jew? No, you are not. Because you got used to Egypt. Because you are not struggling with me anymore, God will say. And if the baby of the struggle and somebody hurt himself, he will not grow up. And God never wanted us to come out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, in order to get stuck under a mountain. He also never got us out of Egypt to be stuck in the desert and to die in your carcass. You remember? I'm sure you're familiar with those. I'm not inventing those words. It's biblical. 1 Corinthians 10. God wants us to go all the way to the end till we reach his laps. He is sitting there in Jerusalem, the promised land. I'm not talking out spiritually, okay? Mount Zion. And he wants everybody as close as possible to his laps. Because only on daddy's laps is real freedom.
Hallelujah, brother.
We were never called to bondage. Whatever it is, if it's called Messianic Jewish bondage or Christian bondage. Pentecostal, evangelical, name it, don't claim it, don't dare to claim it. We are a bunch of strugglers, quarrelers, Israelites who walk with God and ask questions. Why is it like this, Daddy? Why? Why? Till when the evildoers will succeed? David asks. We are struggling with God because we are a living organ. We are not dead bunch of religious people. I am Yahweh, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall, of course, you shall not have other gods, because they will put you back into bondage. He is always, please check me. Please take concordance. Remember I told you I'm flesh and blood? I can make mistakes. Please do me a favor. Do your homework. And you will see that whenever God speaks about himself, I am the one who took you out of Egypt. I am the one who took, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I took you. Why Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because he also freed them. He freed everyone from idol worshipping in Babylon. Are you with me? He freed Isaac from the Philistines. And from being comfortable in the midst of the Philistines. He freed Jacob, of course, by leading him to a real higher grade in his theological seminary. Talking about Jacob. One of his graduation events, Jacob, was when he was named Israel. But did he finish struggling with Israel? No, let's continue. To our portion of the week. Are you still okay or you are bored? Exodus 21. Here, many do not like to read this portion, at least part of it, at least how it begins. Because there is a shopping list, I call it, you know, or a list of do this, do not do this. Do this, do this. Abba, okay, we understand it. By the way, why do we say, okay, we understand it? Because under the new covenant, he put his laws on our hearts. That's why it's so easy to identify with those words. But it's really, really a list, you know, a checklist. Is it really? Only when you read it on the surface. Are you ready to go into a little adventure? Into the first verses of our portion today? And see Messiah almost in every letter of it? Let's go to it. Exodus 21. Now those are the judgments. By the way, Mishpatim, Mishpat in Hebrew, is connected to Shofet. Shofet. Judge, that's why judgment, but also a judge, Shofet, which gives his sentences, verdicts, Mishpatim. The God, remember I will tell you what is real freedom? He took us out of Egypt and then brought us onto Mount Sinai to scare us to death. I mean it. But not exactly today. This was in the flesh. To scare us to life, to freedom, to true freedom. You want freedom? You need to know before whom you are standing. I am a holy God. You are not exactly. Impressive with your holiness. Be humble, be meek. I am a holy God. Now, Moses, you talk, and you cannot hear me. Remember? Don't worry. He didn't show you your heavens. Moses answered. Do you remember? Last portion. And here in this portion, the very first judgment, sentence, that God himself gives Moses, speaks about bondage. And how you can get out of bondage into freedom. I'm talking about slavery. Not servanthood. I just invented a new word in English. Servanthood, beloved. Why do I say it? Because the word in Hebrew, Eved, speaks about slave. Are you with me? And politically corrected, it was translated almost each time into English, servant, God's servant. Moses, God's servant. Excuse me? It's Eved Adonai. It's the slave of God. You want to be free? Be willing to serve or to be in bondage to the right one. Sounds crazy, huh? You want to be free, Tommy? Completely give up on yourself and submit yourself. Sooner we will see. Let him take your ear and drag it to where? Let's read. I'm talking too much. Let him talk. First, the very first sentence, verse 2. If you buy a Hebrew servant, whoops, who is the first Hebrew? Abraham. Come on, Abraham. He's the first one to be called Hebrew. Hebrew from crossover, Lazor. Cross to Hebrew. On his way from Babylon to Israel. Yeah, to the promised land. We are descendants of Abraham. By the way, both spiritually and physically. Okay? And as believers in Yeshua. But Abraham and Isaac later on, Jacob, the sons of Israel, the sons of Israel are Hebrews. And here, strange thing, the Hebrews are allowed to put their brothers in bondage as slaves. Why do you think God will allow it? By the way, when God speaks about the dietary laws, blah, 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 yeah? Dreams, whatever. He says those things give to the nation, Gentiles. By the way, it says, I'm not wrong. Okay? You should not eat, how do you call it, carcasses or whatever, yeah? Leave it to the Gentiles. Ooh! You want them to eat? You want them to get sick? But the most critical thing, God is the God Yahweh who brought you out of Egypt, the house of bondage, right? And here he loves Jews. Hebrews, it's not Jews. Hebrews, not yet. Hebrews to put other Hebrews into bondage. Why? Because the Torah has the gospel in it. The Torah, I call it the book of Hebrews, is all the shadows that want to come. Friends, who will make himself 1400 years from this event? 1400 years, you know. Forward, yeah? 2000 years. Go up, yeah? Backwards. Who will become a servant? Who will live this glorious freedom, put himself, dress himself with flesh and blood, and become a servant? Yeshua. But here, a servant characteristic is, number one, he is bought by his master. He has no rights whatsoever. Does this ring a bell? Do we have any right before Yeshua, before God? If you think yes, I would say correct your doctrines. You have no rights. Beloved, we were bought by the flesh blood of Yeshua, but we were bought to be servants, and if, slaves, if we will walk the walk, are you with me, through freedom, we are going to get to the seventh year. Only I heard only one says hallelujah. The coin did not fall. My friends, after 6 years, he needed to be freed from his master. Let's read. He shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh, he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master is giving him a wife, and she had borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be his master's, and he shall go out by himself. Naked we came to this world, naked we will leave it. Whatever we got, wife, children, do not belong really to us. I will belong to the one who bought us. Till the 7 years, only with 6. But look at this now. Verse 5. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I love Yeshua. Remember Peter? Remember John chapter 6, verse 6, 6. John 6, 6, 6 reads the following. Yes, you heard me right. John 6, 6, 6 reads the following, paraphrased by my bad English. From that time and on, many of, not the crowds, many of the disciples left him and walked with him no more. And Yeshua, I am paraphrasing it, don't look at what I'm going to say in the scripture. It's like he goes, he opens the door, and he says to his 12, would you like to go ask? Peter, who was not known to be a theologian, just a fisherman, are you with me? The impulsive one, he had spiritual understanding. He was towards graduating the 3.5 years of his master. Are you with me? He had spiritual common sense and he said, where shall I go? You have words of life. Where shall I go? It's like the servant here in our portion. Where shall I go, Andy? You are such a great master. Look, you gave me this gift. You gave me this gift. You're my wife. You gave me my kids. Where shall I go? No, no, Andy. Here is my ear. Why ear and no place? Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear! But hearing biblically means obedience. And a servant is nothing but an obedient man. Here is my ear. Take it to what? To the door. What is the door? I am the gate. I am the door. Yeshua. Or to the doorpost. What was hanged on the doorpost? The word of God. Take me. Make me one with Yeshua. I do not want to live. Isn't it beautiful? But guess what? When you do it on the 6th year, 6,000 years, you get into eternal 7th day. And he shall walk for him. Let me read it in English. Verse 6. Then his master shall bring him to the judge. By the way, it's not to the judges, it's to Elohim. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. This is the millennial kingdom. Three hearts. I say that we will talk about the Sabbath, right? God created everything. 6 days, on the seventh, he rested. Yes or no?
Yes.
All of Eve, by the way, including in this portion. This portion in chapter 23 speaks about the feasts. Remember? Mm-hmm. Not the Jewish feasts. Forget about it. It's God's feast. God's appointed times, yeah? All are based on the number 7. Starts with the Sabbath, then the Shemitah, sabbatical year, the Jubilee, the Passover for 7 days. Are you with me? Everything is based on 7. Are you ready for the next one? In our portion. Go to chapter 24, still in the portion. I told you God wants us to have true freedom. which means enslaved to him and to him alone. But guess what? It's not a brutal bondage like in Egypt.
No.
Yeshua says to the disciples, if you keep my words, I will not call you servants anymore, slaves, but my friends. Yeshua, and of course whatever Yeshua does, his father wants. Yes or no? Equality. But he doesn't do anything that the father doesn't do, right? Or wants. My friends, both the Father, Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, yeah, God Almighty, wants personal relationship. He does not want you to stay under the mountain. What am I talking about? Chapter 24. Now he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, by the way, the Redeemer and the priest. The Torah is filled with Messiah. Portraits, foreshadows. Why Moses and Aaron do everything? Oh, because Moses stuttered and he couldn't speak. Yes, this is the physical reason. But you think God was surprised? No! It's the two coins on the same one Redeemer. King who is also high priest. Do you get it?
Yeah.
And the king and the high priest are not to stay down at the feet of the mountain. They are to come for more personal relationship. Are you with me? They are to come, not to be satisfied with the sacrifices down at the mountain, and you know, they ate from the side, yeah? But to eat and drink before God Almighty, and even see the Almighty. This is the highest calling, which is speaking in New Testament terms about Zion. You did not come to a mountain. Book of Hebrews. Shaking and all the people afraid, and Moses also was, you know. But you came to Mount Zion, where people had communion with Almighty. And here it is, the picture. Come, you and Aaron. There's a picture of Yeshua. Nadab and Abihu, unfortunately, they did not make it. Ooh, what a warning. Nadav and Avihu. Nadav, a noble or generous man. Avihu, my father is he. I mean, he is my father. Why? Haven't I good? I even paid something for him. Haven't I good? Oh, Moses, don't make up yourself, you know, something higher than me. Really? Fire came and consumed those two. Are you with me later on? Big warning for us. Yes, God calls us to be sitting and communing with Him, eating, drinking before Him. But we should never take His freedom for granted. We should never, soon we will read it in Galatians, be led by the Spirit, but not to satisfy the flesh. There is a very thin line. Paul did not teach in Galatians against the Torah. The opposite. The opposite. He speaks about keeping the Torah, but not exactly as messianics interpret. There is a higher calling than just staying at the feet of Mount Sinai. We are going to die there very soon. If we stay there. The higher calling is to get what we got and use it as the means and not as the God. Torah is not the God. Torah is the means to bring us to God. To a higher calling. Like Moses and Aaron and the two and other 70 elders. Come. Come and come to the higher calling. When Yeshua gives his Sermon on the Mount, please stop understanding as good Christian. Sermon on the Mount is another repetition of Mount Sinai event. As Moses went on the mountain, Yeshua goes on the mountain, high mountain. As Moses brought the word, Yeshua brings the word. As Moses gave Mishpatim and Terumah and all the exposition on the 10 walls, you know, all the Torah, rabbis agree with it. All the Torah is concentrated on the 10 walls. Interpretation of the 10, relating to the 10 walls. Are you with me? And Yeshua, like Hillel, the one before him, Hillel the Helder, even, how do you say it? Then condensed the 10 into 2. Paul in Galatians even condensed the 2 into 1. Love your neighbor as yourself, and you fulfill all the Torah. There is a higher way to fulfill the Torah. God was never into a checklist. Oh, Rami, what are you talking about? But all the Torah is checklist. When you look at it under Moses, when you look at it under the New Covenant, you can see that it has changed. And we are now to fulfill the Torah. Not to, by God forbid, not by contradicting the Torah, but fulfilling its essence, which is love God with all of your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor. You know what? Don't love me, God will say. First, love your neighbor. Show me that you love me by loving your neighbor. Stop blah, blah, blah. I did this. Many will come in that day. I did that. But let's go. Are you still with me? Mm-hmm. Can you give me 10 more minutes?
No.
Oh. By the way, we will open it for question and answers, okay? I will be fair with you. You can throw your tomatoes or your challah bread at me when I'm done. Okay, beloved, let's go. So, verse 4. Sorry. Let's read it. Oh. And he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him. But you will see that they are coming up, okay, later on. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgment, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. Words have weight. Please consider before you tell Yeshua, I will do order. Stop! Put brakes, please! Because your words have weight. I really want the glory, the fire! Fire come! Excuse me? When fire comes, it consumes. It will leave nothing but pure thing, pure gold before you. And fire hurts. Did you ever put your hand on fire? Oh, Yeshua, I want to suffer with you. I want your suffering. Then my child is sick with cancer. Then this and this. Oh, the devil, the devil. Excuse me? Whom are you worshiping exactly? Yahweh of the devil. Why do you give the devil glory? You know, for this and this, right? Or is your Lord the master who bought you? Then everything which happens to you is by him or not? It's so easy. Suffering is come, it's Satan. The bumps, you know, on the road, snakes are coming to attack us. Oh, it's the devil. Really? We should start to change our prayers. Whenever God, and this is for my wife's wife, she told me we need to change our prayers. We need to stop praying ourselves out of our bad situations. She's white. Oh, it gives me goosebumps right when I speak about it. Woo, how our life would look like if you would just say, yes, Master. No problem. You want me to go this way? Yes, Master. I love you so much. Here is my ear. Gratitude. Because I know the reward. I know I'm with you forever. It's so great to be with you. Let's continue. They say we will do. Did they do it? Excuse me? All the history of the Jewish people is not doing the Torah. They were expelled from... Expelled, you say? Expelled, yeah. From the promised land twice. Do they do it today? Do the Orthodox do it? No! There is no way even to do it today. According to the letter of the Torah. No temple, no nobody. I just got an email from a dear man who asked me, you know, Rami, I came across this verse, you know, this and this verse, you know, about the 3 times, the pilgrimage feast, you know. You need to go 3 times a year, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacle to show before the Lord, right? And he says, Rami, I thought, wow, maybe this is the problem of the Israelites with the Palestinians, so-called Palestinians. There is no such a thing. But you know, with their enemies, is it right, Rami? I wrote in capitalized letter, absolutely not. Nobody even can go and fulfill this commandment. What, you want to go in and bow down before the Satan pagan buildings there on the Temple Mount? Whom do you want? Whom are you going to worship there? Open your eyes! I told him they need the Messiah. They need Yeshua, you know, he is the Prince of Peace, and only him can bring real peace.
Amen.
To go to Jerusalem 3 times, and I have friends who go 3 times thinking that they are fulfilling the Torah. Help. I don't judge them, I don't look down at them. But excuse me, you went a bit too far, you crossed the lines. Watch out. Let's continue. And Moses wrote all the way, verse 5. Then he sent young men. By the way, very, very interesting. Immediately following them, saying, we will do. What comes? Grace. The blood. Please, are you still awake? Do you hear me? Immediately after we in our stupidity say, I will do it for you. It's like God smiles. By the way, he doesn't smile because in Deuteronomy, it repeats itself. In Deuteronomy. And God says, I wish they would do as they say. Sadness in God's heart. I mean, they are blah, 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 and say, I will do, I will do. I wish they would have this heart. But I know, Moses, when you die, they will corrupt their ways. They will commit adultery, he says, with other gods. My friends, we need the blood. How do I know? I do not read the New Testament. I read the so-called Old Testament to know that we need the grace. Let's read it. He sent Moses, young men of the children of Israel, who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offering of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people, and they say, oh, the Lord has said, we will do, and we will be obedient. Now, 7 Ishma. And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people. Do you see the connection? Before they said, we will do and we will hear, or now 7 Ishma in Hebrew, yeah? He sprinkled it only on the altar. Read it, I just read it. Once they said, we will hear and do, or do and hear, he threw it on them. Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, by the way, it's not sprinkled, it's even he threw, he zrok. Pah, like water fountain, mazreka. It's not just little drops. He like, you know, took the blood. Picture of Yeshua. Yeshua's blood that we need so much. This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you, according to all those words. Beloved, and I want to conclude with a higher calling, if you allow me. Verse 9. Then Moses went up, and also Aaron, Nadav, and Abihu, the 70 elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. Friends, this is not mistranslation. Vayirhu et Elohei Israel. And there is another word in Hebrew, yiru, or liro, to fear. But in context, it cannot be that they feared. You cannot say they feared the God of Israel, and then the description of what they feared. No, they saw, and then the description of what they saw, what they've seen. They saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved walk of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of Israel, he did not lay his hand, which means he did not strike them. So they saw God and ate and drank. Whoops, mistake in translation. There are two words used in the Hebrew here. Vayir'u, the first one, they saw God, the sapphire paved and all this, yeah? What a beauty, I mean, oh, like Revelation, you know, describing the heaven, yeah? They saw, they had the revelation of God. But you know what is the other word? Vayechezu, from Chazon, vision. They envisioned for the future. Are you with me? What they saw was also for us to see when they ate and drank before him. They envisioned the God of Israel. We are called to envision the God of Israel. We are called to a higher calling. We are called not to stay under the mountain, but rather up on the mountain. Let me conclude. Let Paul conclude it for us in Galatians. Please turn with me to Galatians. Hopefully it will make more sense than it made before. Because Paul never spoke one word without basing it on the Torah. How the church took his words so far. All was based on the Torah. Like verse in chapter 3, verse 23. Oh, sorry, I'm in Hebrews. I was wondering where it is. Sorry. Corinthians, Galatians 3, 23. Actually, I don't want this one. I want chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, it's us by the way, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all. Beloved, where the children of Israel, look at me, in the land of Israel, in the land of Egypt, under severe bondage, were they the chosen people, yes or no?
Yes.
Of course! Did they feel like? No! They cried out to God, right? They forgot actually in the desert when the trials came. We are missing in Egypt. But according to Paul's interpretation, in Egypt, they were still children. And if, only if they collaborated in God's